Pastor Eric's not the only one that has been traveling. My family just got back from vacation. We took a page from the Bible because when Jesus wanted to rest and wanted to be with his Father, he went to the mountains. And that's exactly what we have done. We've gone to all of the mountains. We went to Space Mountain and Splash Mountain and Everest and Big Thunder Mountain. And we had a great time. And now we're resting from our trip. It was not restful, but it was really enjoyable. And I'm here to tell you, before I go into this, Pastor, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to be up here. I know that he doesn't often give this pulpit over to just anyone. That's great, and it is truly an honor to get to share this this morning. So our trip that we took to Disney World, in case you didn't know where all those mountains were, was truly, truly, in all seriousness, a miraculous trip. Because 3 months ago, my family came under a really, really terrible attack from the enemy. It's been the last 90 days. It has meant 5 hospitals, 5 nights at Central Baptist, 8 nights at Vanderbilt for Allison. If those of you who don't know exactly what's happened, one day, she was suddenly struck with the inability to move her upper extremities. She couldn't speak. She was having a really difficult time breathing. And I'm not going to go into exactly what this is, but her phosphorus levels, which is something you measure in your blood, her phosphorus levels were dropping low. And so we weren't sure why that was happening. We weren't sure why that she was experiencing the symptoms that she was experiencing. But through extensive testing, we finally discovered what we think to be the cause of all of it. It's Rocky Mountain Spotted Fever. If you guys have ever dealt with Rocky Mountain Spotted Fever, it is no joke. There's a pretty high percentage of people who have this that die from it. So it's nothing short of a miracle that my wife is still with us here today. Amen. Amen. So the enemy tried to kill my wife. He tried to scatter and destroy my family. And we found ourselves suddenly facing a mountain that we couldn't get over, we couldn't get under, and there was no way that we could get around. And I believe we all face some kind of mountain. We all face something that looks bigger than us. It looks bigger than our circumstances. It looks bigger than anything that we could possibly hope to get around. And we all face them from time to time. I believe that there are some people that are here this morning who are going to face a mountain this week, who have faced a mountain recently, or you know somebody that's going to face a mountain. And I'm here to tell you, I'm here to give you a good report that mountains do move, and your mountain can move this morning, and I'm going to tell you how it can happen. So I want to kind of drop an anchor in Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 24. Pastor has been preaching through Mark, and I'm not jumping ahead. I actually asked him for permission to do this, and he said it would be fine. So Mark chapter 11 has been a pillar of our faith in getting us through this really difficult time, and I want to share it with you. Verse 22, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. That's good on its own. I think I'm done. We can probably... Listen, mountains can move. But it requires a couple of things, according to this verse, it requires a couple of things in order for that to take place. Number one is faith. And in verse 22, it says, Jesus answered them and said to them, have faith in God. Other translations say, have the faith of God. But what is faith? We use the word faith kind of interchangeably, maybe even a little haphazardly. We use it sometimes to mean a religion. I'm of the Christian faith. This person is of that faith. This person is of that faith. Webster's has a definition for faith a mile long. But I think Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 is a great definition. If you haven't read through Hebrews 11, that is the faith chapter. And this is the foundation of what I want to tell you today. Verse 11 says, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. A couple of things I want to point out in that verse. Substance and evidence. Get that in your head, because that's where we're going this morning. Substance and evidence. If you take substance and evidence out of that verse, here's what it says. Faith is hoping for things we can't see. Faith is not hope. Our hope is found in Jesus. But our faith is founded in substance and evidence. And to understand substance and evidence in faith, we have to develop a really clear understanding of how we exercise our faith and what faith means to be the God kind of faith. See, Allison and I have a really extensive medical background. Before I was a pastor, I was a flight medic. Allison is a nurse practitioner. She was an ER nurse for several years. She was a flight nurse. We have a really, really long history of education in medicine. We have training. We have experience. And we actually used our training, our experience, and our education to teach other people for an extended period of time. And so when we were confronted with this illness that the devil threw at my family, we pored over the research, trying to find out what this is, because it didn't fit anything that we knew. It didn't fit something that was crystal clear for us. But we wanted a clear diagnosis. Because if we had a clear diagnosis, we could find a treatment and we could find a cure. This morning I want to preface before I go on. This is going to be a really open and honest and transparent conversation between you and I. And I just ask you, as I show you some of the ugliness of our faith that we exercise, that you'll give us the grace that God has given us through this. You see, we had faith. We had faith. But we had a faith like Thomas. After the resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples who were in hiding from a lot of the Jewish and religious leaders of the time. But Thomas wasn't among them when they were hiding after Jesus appeared. John chapter 20, verses 24 through 25 says, "Now Thomas was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' So he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the prints of the nails, and I put my finger into the print of the nail, and I put my hand into his side, I will not believe.'" Now you can imagine what it's like. Some of you have experience having a loved one who's sick, and you just want to get to the other side of it as quickly as you possibly can. And you apply what you know to get you to the other side of certainty. See, it's easy to have faith when things are certain. It's easy to have faith when there's money in the bank and that big bill comes and you can pay it with no problem. It's really easy to have faith when the factory closes down and there's another job waiting for you on the other side. It's really easy to have faith when there are hungry mouths to feed at home and there's a fully stocked refrigerator in the kitchen. That's the kind of faith we were clinging to. We were clinging to a faith that had brought us through tough circumstances before, because we faced tough circumstances before. Allison's dad passed away with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. We have been through tough circumstances before. Her mom passed away with cancer. Been through tough circumstances before. But the outcome was always certain. See, certainty is like facing a mountain with a road through it. Do you see that? The road might look curvy and it might be narrow, but there's a road through the mountain. You see, those things that I was talking about, money, a job, food, those things are all good. It's fine. Those things are all God-given gifts that we can praise Him for, that we can cling to. But what do you do when there is no road through? How do you get around a mountain? How do you get past doubt when the mountain is so big? You can't see around it this way, and you can't see around it that way. You can't find a way through. We were there. Because you see, we wanted to see things that were better, like better lab values. We wanted to see things changing because that meant that there was a road through the mountain, that we had a certain way through this. We wanted to see things better, like better vital signs that were going haywire all the time, every time that she would have symptoms. We wanted to see them better because that meant there was a road through the mountain. We wanted to see alleviated symptoms, a clear diagnosis, and into this because that meant that there was a road through the mountain. You see, we believe in healing. We believe in miraculous healing. We believe in the Word. We have seen healing happen. We have participated in healing for people, both physically and spiritually. But the enemy, when we were pressed and we faced uncertainty, we let the enemy convince us that, like Thomas, we needed proof. We needed certainty. We needed a road through the mountain. But that's not a Hebrews 11 kind of faith. That's not a Mark 11 kind of faith. That's what we call a head faith. We believed it in our head. But look again at Mark 11. It says, does not doubt in his heart. Does not doubt in his heart. So what does that look like? What does not doubting in your heart look like? Well, I'll tell you, that is a faith like Abraham. You see, after Allison had been in the hospital for 2 weeks, one day the doctor came in and he started saying things like, Mrs. Clonch, we really don't see an end game here. Started saying things like, we don't know what's wrong with you. And then they started saying things like, what we're going to do next is we are going to stop your infusion of medication that is keeping you from having drops in your phosphorus. And when phosphorus drops too low, that can mean you get put on a ventilator to even sustain life. Do you see the mountain we're facing now? Do you see what we were going through? Romans chapter 4 tells us about the faith that Abraham exercised. Verse 17 says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. And in the presence of him who he believed, that's God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body or the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being, listen to this, fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. That is the substance and the evidence of our faith. It is believing that what he promised, he is able to perform. You see, we had a promise we were clinging to. The word says, by your stripes, we were healed. Past tense, by your stripes, we were healed. Already done. We believed it. And in that moment when they came in and they turned off the infusion, you would think that would be the scariest moment in our life. See, we realized our mistake. We were facing a mountain with no road. We were going to have to move a mountain. And so we made the shift from head faith that is always going to fail to heart faith. And there was a peace that came in that room because we believed a promise, and we believed and were fully convinced that God was able to do what He had promised to us. You see, the medical staff, they came in and they began to draw blood. They were going to check this phosphorus level. 4 hours later, the phosphorus didn't move. 6 hours later, the phosphorus didn't move. 12 hours later, and it was on the rise. 24 hours later, and it was on the rise. After that moment, her phosphorus level never dropped one more time to this day. Praise God. Praise God. He is able. He is able. He is able. A heart faith says, I hear what you're telling me, but you see, I got this promise from God. I hear that you don't have a diagnosis for me, but see, I got this promise that says he'll take care of it all. I got this promise that says I don't need to worry. I just need to cast my cares on Him. That is walking by faith and not by sight. And that is how we are called to live our life, to walk by faith and not by sight. Substance and evidence of our faith. See, there's something else, though, in Mark that he tells us to do. We have faith, but we also have to speak. Mark 11 doesn't just talk about heart faith. Head faith. It says that we need a heart faith. Look at that again. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says, come on, say it with me, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will what? Have them. You will what? Say it again. Have them. See, three times Jesus reiterates the need to speak, not to think, not to meditate on, not to write down on a piece of paper. He says speak. That means that we've got to open our mouth and make words come out. Why? Why? Because faith requires us to take action. James said that faith without action is dead. And I'm here to tell you this morning, if faith won't move our mouth, it won't move our mountain. That is for sure. You see, Jesus gave us the example of speaking to things, because Jesus spoke to a whole lot of different things and they listened to him. Just before the verse in Mark 11 that we've been reading, he cursed a fig tree and the fig tree withered. He spoke to the fig tree. He spoke to the fever of Peter's mother-in-law, and the fever left, and she began to cook. Amen. I want to do more of that. He told the sea to be still, and it was still and silent. He spoke. He told us to do the same thing, to speak in faith and believe in our mountain. Has to move. It has to move. But there's something else. There's another reason to speak. See, the enemy is always speaking to you. And your voice has got to carry above his voice, twisting and lying and poking and prodding. Why? Why is that important? Why do we have to speak louder than he does? See, there's an experiment published in the Journal of Experimental Psychology, and researchers asked a group of students to read through a list of statements. Some of them were obviously true, some of them were obviously false, but there were some statements that were a little in the middle, a little trickier to judge. And the students had to rate each statement from 1, meaning definitely false, to 6, meaning definitely true. Then they were asked to do the same rating task on another list, which included some of the same statements from the first list. And finally, they were given a multiple choice questionnaire to judge their actual knowledge of some of the statements on the list. What's worrying is that even when the students knew the correct answer to one of the multiple choice questions, they were still likely to rate false statements contradicting their knowledge as true as long as it was repeated on the list. Do you see why it's important to speak? Because the more we hear the lies of the enemy over and over and over, it begins to twist our perception of the truth. We begin to slowly doubt that our mountain will ever move. Jesus showed us how to win the victory over the enemy right after he was baptized and was led out into the wilderness by the Spirit. See, he faced his own mountain. And the devil was speaking to Jesus and trying to tempt him in various ways. And in Matthew 4, it says, again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all of the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. And Jesus said, he spoke to him and said, away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord God, and only you shall serve him. Then the devil left him. The devil did what? He left him. He had to run away with his tail tucked because Jesus spoke to him and told him the truth and told him, it's time for you to go. As they come to the music this morning, whatever mountain you may be facing, you've got to exercise your heart faith. You've got to speak to your mountain and tell it you will not be intimidated. You will not back down. That mountain may look big, but your God is bigger. And there may not be a way through the mountain, but our God will make a way where there is no way. Praise God. And when the enemy tells you that that mountain will never move, because you're crazy for talking to a mountain anyway, you tell him it has to move, and so does he. Bless God, he has got to go. He has got to go. Tell your mountain to move. Speak it. Tell your mountain to move, and it has to move. And the devil has no answer for it. If you'll stand to your feet with me this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed. I want you to think about the mountains that you're facing. They may be great big mountains. And like us, you may not see any way over it, under it, around it, through it. But you don't have to have the knowledge of how to do it by yourself. So you just got to have the heart faith, the substance and the evidence, the word seated deep in your heart, and the ability to believe that he will do whatever he promised to do faithfully every time. This morning, maybe you're here and you're wondering, what about this faith stuff? Never had faith that I know of. Well, I'm here to tell you that if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, the Word says that you have been given a measure of faith that you can exercise. But if you need your mountain moved and you have never accepted Jesus as your Savior, I'm sorry to tell you, that mountain may never move. So the first place that you need to start this morning is to surrender to Jesus. If you need to do that this morning, take action. Let your faith move you to raise your hand and say yes. If that's you, lift your hand right now. I need Jesus for the very first time this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe this morning you feel like the mountain is too big and the enemy has told you over and over again that mountain is never going to move, and you've believed him. Like Thomas, you need to find a way through. Well, there are rivers of refreshing be found in God. Your faith can be renewed, expanded, grown. This morning, if you need to rededicate your life to God, you need a fresh start in God. You want to see that mountain moved and you believe it. Would you just raise your hand this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, I just want to pray for all of the hands that were raised in this house today. Thank you that you move mountains. Thank you for the faith that you have given us to put into action what we believe, and knowing that you are able to deliver on every promise that you ever made. You have not broken one, and you will never break any promise to us. We believe that whatever we're facing, Jesus, maybe this morning, there's some who come here and the ink hasn't even dried on the divorce papers that are sitting on the table yet. And they need a mountain moved because they can't figure out how to keep their family together. Jesus, I pray that you would make a way where there's no way. There's a family whose children are scattered, making the wrong decisions, and they don't know how to bring them back into a right relationship with you. Jesus, I pray that you would show them how to move a mountain. There are some here who are going through illnesses or have surgeries even scheduled, Jesus. They're not sure if they're going to make it to the other side of their mountain. Jesus, would you encourage them this morning and let them know they can move that mountain. Thank you, Jesus. We love you so much. Thank you for delivering us. Thank you for keeping every promise you ever made. Thank you for coming to this earth, stretching out your arms, dying for us so we can have this faith, and for your broken body to heal our bodies. Praise you, Jesus. We love you. We love you. This church said,